You know, I don't know if you paid
attention to those words, but those are tremendous. Question, did Jesus pay it all? That's what we see. Did Jesus pay it all? Well, the scriptures teach that he did. The Bible says that the work that was done on the cross was finished. He said, it is finished. You know what that means for you and I? It means that we don't have to work for it. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that the work that's required for salvation is done. It's done. It's complete. That song speaks of completeness. Jesus paid it all. All of it. It's all done. There's nothing left for us to do except to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust Him and to do what He's promised to do. Tonight is a special service. This evening as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we look at something that is so foundational to everything that we do, something that's so important. This evening, we ask the question, why do we do this? It seems so ritualistic. And I always, that's one of my hesitations. Anytime we're doing the Lord's Supper and there's guests or visitors that come, I have a passion to make sure that they understand that what we're doing is not just some ritual that the church does. It's just not something that we do. You know, I'll tell you what, to tell you the truth, I have not been to a lot of churches in my day, a lot of different types of. Of course, I've been to a lot of churches in our circles, but not a lot of different types of different churches that do things differently. And I would say there's a lot of churches, and I think that you would agree with me, there's a lot of churches that have a tendency to do things out of ritual, tradition, it's what we do. And it's not all bad that we have certain traditions. I mean, if it's something right and God instituted, then I think it'd be traditional that we do it. Yet, we don't want to do something just for the sake of tradition, though. It's what we do. When something ends up being traditional, it takes away so much life to it. It takes away meaning. It takes away significance. And so, as I'm here before you this evening, I want to make sure that we don't ever let this special service be something that is simply traditional. So I ask you the question tonight, why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there's many different passages that speak on the Lord's table. Well, at least there's several passages that have the Lord's Supper, communion. We get it firsthand, and we read about it in the Gospels. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is one place where there it's spoken again outside of the Gospels, and we learn some things from this passage on why. And tonight the focus is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can turn there and I'll catch you up in the context in just a moment, but we're going to find ourselves in verse 23 where Paul goes through again what has already been taught and what the people are already supposed to know concerning the Lord's Supper. So what's going on in 1 Corinthians? As I mentioned a few weeks ago, in the last couple of weeks, I mentioned that here we have a church that they've been saved, of course, out of a sinful, wicked lifestyle. There's a lot of background in the community. There's a lot of things that are going on. And the people have seen the salvation of the Lord. And I believe many of these people have come to trust in Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. But as the process of time goes, they lose sight on a lot of things that they had learned, Paul had taught them. And from that came a lot of questions and concerns about the ministry and the practical application of things in the church. And so Paul writes the book of 1 Corinthians dealing with a lot. And one of the things that throughout 1 Corinthians is dealt with is division. There's a lot of division in the church, a lot of people with different ideas. And you know what? I don't believe that Paul tries to take away our individuality, our humanity that we all have. You know, we're all individuals before the Lord, and God made us individual. However, in the church setting, we need to be very careful with our different factions and groups that we divide up. And what ends up happening is we look at other people in a different light, and what we do is we measure everybody else by who we are. And if I think a certain thing, and I believe this is right, and by the way, what you believe, you ought to believe is right. You know, if you don't believe that, then kind of goes against itself. You ought to firmly believe in what you believe. But we need to make sure that it's biblical and godly and that it's founded upon the Word of God. But we need to be careful on our approach with other people and how they deal with things. And of course, in 1 Corinthians, we see some background of people following different leaders, and, well, I'm of this person, and I'm of that person, and I'm of this group, and I'm of that group, and we do this, and you do that. And what comes from that is we end up, like I just mentioned, we end up looking at ourselves as the right ones, and everybody else is wrong. And I think that Paul warns that we need to be very humble, and we need to follow Christ in the matter. A number of issues are dealt with in 1 Corinthians from all kinds of topics. One of the issues in this church was they lost sight of this. You know, of course, it came from the feast, the Passover feast, the love feast, and which they did things, they remembered things, they got together, and the Lord kind of transformed that into the Lord's table, where the Christians and believers would remember something different. Tonight we have that opportunity to remember something, and we'll get into in just a moment. But the group of people here that Paul is addressing come to church, and they come to partake in this meal, which he's referring to in the other parts of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and this meal, and they're coming, and they're concerned about their bellies, they're concerned about their groups, they're concerned about who they are, and they kind of come and they find their table. Their table with their friends, their food, their things that they eat. And what happens, without getting into great detail like we did a couple weeks ago, is they end up looking at the other people who are eating different food, maybe from a different class of people, and they divide up. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. That goes absolutely 100% against the fellowship of the Lord's table. Absolutely against. The two cannot go hand in hand. And so in context, he's dealing with this larger issue of we need to come together. And like I said this morning, I'm going to end up preaching my messages now before we get to it. So we'll come to that. It's one of the last points that I want to look at the unity. But why do we do this? Because he's confronting this issue of these groups and different factions of people, divisions of people. And he addresses them. He said, what are you doing? You're going against what this is meaning. And then he goes right into the element of the Lord's table, and he gives it again to them. Let me go ahead and read this. And then we're going to look at what is the point of this institution which God has placed before us. Why is it so important for us to follow? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at verses 23, 24, 25, and 26. Paul writes, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I want you to see, first of all, a phrase that's listed in here. The first reason in which we partake of this is very simple. In fact, it's almost so simple that, you know, you almost don't need to mention it. But the fact is, I think it is important that we mention it. The first reason why we partake of it is because, brothers and sisters, it's commanded. It's commanded. Notice that he says, this do. Notice at the end of verse 24, you see that with a broken bread there? What does he say? His words are, this do. Now he's going to go on and expound upon that. And then we get to verse 25 and he presents the cup and same words. He says, this do ye. Zach, it seems like I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. I know you're probably working on that. This do. You know, I looked up those words, this do, and we see that this word is an imperative. Well, what's an imperative? If something is imperative, what do we say that it is? It is a command. This is something that we're commanded to do. Do you know that what God has instituted with what we are doing tonight is not an option for the church? It's something that is commanded of the Lord Jesus Christ. This do. If any other reason that we do it is because God told us to. Now, mom and dad, wasn't that good enough as you raised your children? I want you to do this, right? And children, why? Why does mom and dad want me? Why do they want me to do this? You know, and every child wants his reason. Why? Tell me why. And you know what? There are times when parents have great reasons, but the answer given is because I said. Because I said to do it. You know, it's amazing that the Lord tells them, I want you to do it. This must be done. You know, and it really doesn't, sometimes I have given that answer to my children, and I say it really doesn't matter. Why? Because I've told you to do it. But the fact of the matter is there usually is a reason behind what we do. This do ye. You know, God knows us, and he knows that if it were not commanded, we might have a tendency not to do a certain thing. Therefore, a parent might go to his child and say, now this is, you know, we might not use the word, this is a command, but I want you to do this. There doesn't need to be an explanation. There doesn't need to be anything else. I want you to do this. And that would be good enough. I wonder if God commands us to do it because he knows that if we weren't given a command, that we would then all of a sudden make it into an optional thing. I'm so grateful that the Lord, beginning at salvation, does all of the work, as I mentioned before. You know how great and mighty God is that God wants us to be saved. He wants us to come to him, and to help us out, he did everything it takes to get to him. Isn't that a blessing? He did everything for us. He sent his own son to die on the cross. He provided the sacrifice. He provided the lamb. He did it. And so he presents to us eternal life. We accept him. And then on top of that, he shows up to say, now on this journey, not of salvation, but of sanctification and coming to the Lord, now I'm going to not only tell you what to do, I give you the word of God as a map to get there. And then I'm also going to send Jesus Christ to help you, the Holy Spirit to comfort you on your way, to lead you and guide you. God really does it all. What a blessing that he does. And one of the things that he does is he gives us commands so that we would do things. Because my fear, and what I fear for my children, is if I don't tell them that you must do this, they might not. And you know what? I believe that God knows us so well. And so he commands us. He says, I want you to do this. What would happen, and this is going to bring us to the next thing, what would happen if we were not commanded to do this? What happens if God didn't tell us to do this? We probably wouldn't do it. What would happen practically? And that's really going to bring us to the next element of why we celebrate the Lord's table. I think that he knew we would have trouble remembering. Let me ask you a question. Is it important for a Christian to remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross? What do you think? Absolutely. Is it easy to forget? I would say to you, and yes, I'm the pastor, it is absolutely easy to forget what Jesus Christ did on the cross. No, not entirely. If we're Christians here, if we're saved, I don't think that we'd ever forget completely. But I'll tell you what, like I mentioned this morning, it's so easy to be out of mind with what Jesus has done. And there, you know, the world is busy. We're busy in our actions. We're busy in our business. We're busy in our ministry. And God knows that we are forgetful people. And so God made a command. He says, it's not an option. I want you to celebrate. I want you to remember. You know, we're forgetful people. And especially when it comes to the things of the Lord. Growing up, my dad, many of you have met my father. My father is a very quiet man. He's not a commander kind of a man. He's quiet, and he's, I don't want to say it in a negative way, but a little bit more passive in some things. But I'll tell you, as quiet as my dad is, there were certain things that were so predictable that my dad would do. You can mark it down that when we, the children, when the family got into the car, no matter what, kids, get your seatbelt on. Every time. I don't know that there was ever a time. It's funny because my dad is still a dad. Still there. We went back to Wyoming for a little vacation. Praise the Lord. We had a wonderful time. Got to spend some time with parents, grandparents, and family time is precious. And I don't underestimate it. I think it's important. Got to spend some time there. And yet dad is still the same dad. Make sure your seatbelt's on. Make sure you do that. You know, that doesn't bother me that dad tells me or commands me to do that. Why? I believe that my dad tells me. There are other things. You know what? We fly. I could ask my wife, what does dad always say? You know, that you know we're getting ready to fly out. This time, it would have been an easy time to forget because we got to bed that night and we had 2 hours to sleep. And we got to bed and we had 2 hours because we went to bed in our full clothes because we knew that in 2 hours we were going to get all seven of us up. And we knew we had to head to Salt Lake City and catch that 6 o'clock plane. And of course, you got to be there early and go through all the hoops that we got to go through. And so we had to be there 4:30. So we had to leave about a 3-hour drive. We had to leave this hour. You know, we got to bed. All the cousins are there. So we got to bed later than what we wanted. So it would have been an easy time to forget. But you know one thing my dad always does, because most of the time we got to Wyoming, we fly. You know what he asks every time? You got your wallet. You have your license. He goes through the list of things that we need. You have everything. And that's not so much of a command. But why does dad do that? Honestly, folks, it's not because he loves to command and he loves to be in charge. He does it for my own benefit. You know what, children? Your parents tell you certain things and you might be bothered with it, but I'll tell you, your parents do it for reasons because they care about you. And you know, I know all the young people, they hear it and they say, yeah, but parents, isn't it true? Isn't it true you care about your children? You care about them and you want them. You want them to buckle up. You want them to remember their license. You want, you know, those things. They want you. And it's for your own good. Sean, did you remember this? He's not just doing it to be mean. I honestly tell you, I don't believe that God is commanding us to do this because he's mean. But he knew us better that we needed to do something so that we would do something that would lead us into the next point that is something that's so important. We've got to remember. And so he says, this do. This do. We understand that we follow through with this because it is God's command. And he's doing it to help us. And we ought to praise the Lord for his command. He is helping us remember. He knows, and we ought to know, that the gospel is so key and foundational in our lives. Because, see, that's really the significance of the Lord's table, is the gospel is going to be presented tonight. The gospel is presented. And so I want you to meet. I want you to go through this because it's important. If the church fail to remember the gospel, the church fails. The church fails. That's why we've got to remember. So that brings us to the next point. So obey no matter what, but number two, to remember. He says a couple different times, again, after, in verse 24, after the broken body, or the symbol of the broken body, in verse 25, after this cup of the New Testament, my blood, this do as oft as ye drink it in what? In remembrance of me. He tells us to remember, and he commands us to remember. To remember what? Well, to remember is to dwell upon something, to think about it, to remember what God has done. In this case, God's goodness has a lot to do with our mind. Now remember. Exodus chapter 12, you go through the story about God's people and how they came into bondage of the Egyptians. You remember all of that? And again, tonight we're not going to go into the whole story, but they come after Joseph. There was another Pharaoh, and the people multiply, and the Pharaoh afterwards gets scared, and they wonder, you know, these people are massive, and what if they overtake us? And so they put them into bondage, and so for many, many years they are under Egyptian bondage. God brings up Moses to deliver the people, and Moses and Aaron go down to deliver God's people, and they go to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh would say yes, and then he would say no, and then he would say yes, and then he would say no, and then he would say no, no, no. They go through all the plagues until finally the end of the Passover. And you remember that once that was done, even before it happened, God gave clear instructions. This is what's going to happen, because tonight you're going to be delivered, you're going to be set free, and you're going to go into the wilderness. And what did he tell these people to do? Exodus chapter 12 gives them very explicit and intricate instructions on what they're to do as they would be released into their deliverance. And they were to do what? Anybody remember? It's one word. They were commanded to remember. They were supposed to have a fancy feast, that they did this and that. And there was one purpose, that they remembered what God did to deliver them from Egypt. And from that time on, when those people were delivered, they would go and they would celebrate, and Father would get around their children, and he would rehash the story of the day of deliverance from Egypt. And they would sit down, and the children would learn, and it would be taken from Moses and even into other things as they crossed the Red Sea, and they would set up memorials to remember. And then later, many years later, after wandering through the wilderness, and when they would cross over Jordan, they would set up memorials. Why is remembering so important to not only the Jewish person? By the way, Jewish people have an emphasis on remembering. They remember. Why? Lest they forget. Lest they forget. Reminds me of the song, "Lead Me to Calvary." Remember those words? Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. And what's the directive? Lead me to Calvary. You know why we have the celebration of the Lord's table? Lest we forget. Lest we forget. The neat thing is we're not remembering Egypt tonight. We're not remembering the deliverance of God's people from Egypt. Oh, now, at the Passover has been taken place now of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Now we get to remember and think back to who we were and what we were. Remember Paul saying, "And such were some of you." Oh, I was a lost one. Look at where I came from. And look what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Understanding that we were sinners, God in heaven looked upon us. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after me. There is none that," Romans tells us. And God looked down at sinful, wicked man and says, "Lost." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus went to the cross. He went sacrificially, willingly, gave himself on the cross, shed his blood on the cross for, in place of, our sin. God wants us to remember. God wants us to remember. Why is it important to remember? I think, first of all, to recall, to think through the elements. And one of the things we do here just a few times a year is we go back on tonight's day and we read through one of the gospel perspectives of the Passion. We read through those three or four chapters in some cases and we remember. I want to tell you something. It's powerful. It's powerful to remember the story of Jesus, so that we can recall the events that took place. Let's stop. Take a time out and ask you to participate just for a moment. We read the story, like I said, about three or four times a year. Every once in a while we'll do that on a Sunday evening when we have the Lord's Supper and we'll read. I want you just for a moment to think about some of the things. You know, those last three chapters usually starts off, you know, in the garden and the disciples falling asleep while Jesus is praying. And Lord, let not this cup pass, you know, or would, you know, if you'd be willing to let this cup pass from me. And on to, you know, on to Judas and the kiss, and I won't steal all of them, but I want you to stop and think of the story. What are some things in that story to you that are significant, that to you are precious to you? And I'll tell you something. You might say, well, this is odd. You haven't done this, you know, in the past, Pastor. Why are you doing this? Because God wants us tonight to recall what He's done for us. I ask you tonight, and I participate in a unified body of Christ, what's important? What out of those couple chapters intrigues you and is important? Anybody, you can just say something. You don't have to, yes, ma'am. Anyone can fail. And yet God came to save, seeking to save the lost people, right? What a story. A story that is for everyone. It's good. What else? What else is significant? What's that? The resurrection. Boy, praise the Lord for the resurrection, right? Can you imagine if the story ended with Jesus on the cross? Can you imagine if the story ended in the tomb? But we don't. We finish with the almighty, all-powerful resurrection, because that resurrection means our resurrection as well. Praise the Lord for the resurrection. What else is significant to you? Father, forgive them. That is an amazing statement, isn't it? When Jesus is on the cross, he's saying, Father, forgive them. And he's specifically talking to the people that put him right on that cross. Roman soldiers, and I would even think that, you know, even the Jewish people that were responsible for putting him up there. What else? What else is significant? What's that? Humiliation. That reminds me of Philippians chapter 2. That although he has a spot in heaven, he came down to condescend in the most amazing way. Jim, you had one in the back there.
It is finished.
Oh, you know, you all know that's my favorite phrase. It is finished, meaning what? It is finished, meaning the works are done. That means I don't have to work anymore for salvation. It was complete, full and complete. Nothing more of me, nothing more of you. That's tremendous news. Yes, Alyssa. He said, whosoever. He said, whosoever. And it's a blessing that Jesus died for all. What are other special things that we think of, Roger? And that's significant because we see the weight in which Jesus, I mean, God could not look on sin, and yet Jesus bore that sin. An amazing thought. Yes, sir. You know, remembering back to what Jesus did, he had the power to do amazing things and the miracles. You know, and we could go on and on about significant the story. I think, you know, every time I read it, it almost brings tears to my eyes when I think of Judas giving that kiss. Remember that kiss? Remember the cock crow. You know, and our Master Jesus was willing to go through all of these things for us. You know, remembering is for us to recall, but there's more to it. It's to be thankful. You know, we remember so that we can be thankful. You know, it's good for us to meet tonight and remember, because remembering brings back appreciation. You know, as we think about these things, it helps us to appreciate. I appreciate that he gave himself on the cross. I appreciate that he exchanged his name, or my name for his and his for mine. I appreciate that he had that humility. I appreciate that he opened it up to everybody. I appreciate so much. You see, to remember helps us to recall. To remember helps us to be thankful. To remember helps us to obey and live. Brothers, I want to tell you something. Sisters, one of the main reasons why we remember is so that through our week, when we recall what Jesus did for us, that we would be willing to do it for him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. As I think about what Jesus did for me, I want to tell you something. It helps me want to live for him. And that, I believe, is significant. Why we remember, for us to live and to obey him, to serve him with all of us, because he did it for us. I've likened it in a very simple way that when we do right, it's not to earn our place in heaven. It's not for our salvation, but it's to thank God for what he's done for us. I do this because I want to thank him. I want to serve him. I want to show him my love for him. And the last thing that I have written down here to remember is to demonstrate. We remember so that we can demonstrate. And that brings us into that next point. Why do we celebrate the Lord's table? Notice the phrase, ye do show. Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. To proclaim is the third point. You know, the Lord's table gives us another opportunity to preach the gospel of his death on the cross. Not that we fall short in giving the gospel here at Faith Bible Church, but I'll tell you what, it gives us another opportunity. Another opportunity to give the death and the burial and resurrection. And is it good for all of us? Absolutely. We all need to hear it. Over and over and over again. I think of the song, Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. What's the point of going over it and over it and over it? Well, like remembering. We've got to hear it. We've got to hear. But here at this point, we do show. It's to proclaim. To proclaim what Jesus did on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and 3 days later, his powerful resurrection from the dead, which signifies to us our life in Christ. As I mentioned, you get to be a part of the preaching. You know what? As we partake here in a few moments, it's a gospel message. Look at what Jesus did for me. I was a sinner, yet he loved me. He was willing to go to the cross and humiliate himself, and he took my spot. He exchanged himself for me, and he put me in a place that only he deserved, where above my name was wicked, wretched, sinful, thief, liar, murderer, whatever we do. He put that above his head, and over my head he put holy, righteous, just. And I tell you, brothers, I don't understand it. I don't understand why he would do that for me. When we come here tonight to partake of the Lord's table, we proclaim this wonderful truth to everybody else. Look what Jesus did for me. I'll take that. I'll take this. This is to remember what Jesus has done. And it's a testimony. It's a message. It's a gospel message of what Jesus has done. That's why we do it. We do it because it's commanded. We do it to remember. We do it to proclaim His truth. The Lord's Supper is to be about His mission. It's all a part of His mission to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. You're all a part of that tonight. But fourthly, it's to unify. It's one for another. You know, the main point of this passage, I believe, you know, as Paul is writing to this church, is unity. He's trying to get these people, listen, get off your proud high horses and come together. It's time to come together as one people, one common bond, nothing over anyone else, no one better than anyone else, all saved by grace. Isn't it true that we're all sinners saved by grace? Every one of us. And these people were going absolutely against it, and they were making themselves something, and they were belittling other people. One of the reasons why we come together as a body, as a church, because there's nothing that anybody in here has over anybody else. We are all sinners. We're all wicked. We're all wretched. We're all 100% flesh. And when we come here, we say we are all there, and nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's unity. Brothers and sisters, it's unity. We are here tonight saying, listen, I have nothing on you and you have nothing on me. We are all lost. All Jesus shedding His blood for all us poor wretched sinners. It puts us in our rightful place of humility. And I just mentioned the song, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. Wow. Tremendous. The gospel is so key and foundational in our lives. Amazing. Thank the Lord for these ways in which we can remember. Tonight, we celebrate because, first of all, we're told to. I'm thankful that Jesus cared to make a command. I want you need to do that. Boy, it helps us, doesn't it? It helps us. Second of all, we've got something to remember. Oh, it helps us to rehearse. It helps us to be thankful for and to appreciate. Wow. To proclaim God's truth, to show, to preach a gospel message again to a lost and dying world. To unify, to be together as one body. All sinners saved by grace. I'm sure there are other things that we could look, but as I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I see some of these things. Here's why we do it. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Father, thank You so much for the opportunity to look at some reasons why we do this. Why is it so important that we do this? Oh God, may we remember, lest we forget. God, thank You for these important things that we see from Your Word. Lord, as we're about ready to partake now and we go through these things, I pray that this time would be precious to us as we recall all that You've done for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and making all this possible. Amen.